All right, let's get this out of the way. The following people are above the Brimley cocoon line, which measures age as a function of whether or not an individual is older than Wilford Brimley was when playing a retiree in Cocoon. The following celebrities have passed that line: Jennifer Lopez, Paul Rudd, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, Lucy Liu, Jason Statham, Gwen Stefani, and every member of New Kids on the Block are all older than Wilford Brimley was when he made Cocoon, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier, and I don't know why I'm working in this hole with an alien in it, but I guess I'll do my job. That should have set the other two. And I'm here with, never mind, it's Camila Adams.
Hello.
Robin Hitchcock.
I want to believe.
And guess what? It's Addie Twigg, everybody.
Hey, I was not in the hole.
No.
No.
But what do you think of The X-Files?
I never saw that movie. I've only ever seen like a handful of episodes, and I think it's scary. Yeah,
you're right.
Agree.
That's kind of the point.
I don't think people talk about it like that. They talk about it like, oh, it's sci-fi and it's aliens or whatever. So when I went to watch it, I was not prepared for what a horror it is,
especially the early seasons.
It is not. It's not for me.
Yeah, I think remind me, you're not a horror fan.
No, okay. Every now and then I'll see. I really liked The Vivitch. But yeah, certain things I don't like gore, and there's so much gore in X-Files. Like, I found it to be really like the body horror stuff.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
Yeah, agreed.
It. Mm-hmm.
It's not for me.
I'm still going back to episodes because it was just a good time.
It was a good time.
You can't just dip your toe in. Just have to. You're like, I'm here now. Let's go.
I thought about, do I want to just like put this on, having already seen most of them, do I want to just put this on in the like 20, 25 minutes before I fall asleep? Knowing that like if I miss something or not off, it doesn't matter. We'll see if I commit. But those aren't the aliens we're here for. We're here for Cocoon. And Addie, I guess the first question is, explain the aliens. Why are we doing
this? Was it my turn to do the recap?
We really should have given her much more notice, guys.
If only someone had told me. Cue the trap.
Wait, hold up. We were supposed to explain to us why you wanted to do an alien themed movie.
Oh yeah, well, it's our thing, right?
How did it become our thing?
When I first came on, it was because I won the auction, arcade auction, and I want to say, did we just draw a movie or did I think you picked? I think I picked one, and I picked Alien because I had never seen it.
Yeah.
And I think it came out the year I was born, so it was just like, this is correct. And so the first one we did was an alien theme, and then was the second one Aliens?
We did talk about Aliens, but I don't think you were on that episode.
Okay,
we did
E.T.
E.T. was the second one with you.
Because we were like, let's stick with the alien theme.
Yeah.
So we did E.T., and then I didn't like win an auction this time.
I just missed her.
I just won the friend auction.
Yes. Oh, that's
funny. And Addie, if you don't recognize the voice, Addie is our theme songstress.
Number one.
Live in person.
I almost did it when Sean was done with the intro. I missed the moment. Yeah. I know. I was like foaming at the mouth, like I was having a Pavlovian.
So we owe you because you've given so much to this show. Every episode contains your beautiful voice. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, so obviously you need more of it.
Right. So now let's go straight into this recap, which Addie has prepared so much better than anything we've ever done.
And I do have to,
with a few exceptions.
I'm passing around a petition that you guys all have to sign for me to be allowed to go longer than a minute because it is musical and my craft cannot be contained to 60 seconds.
Yes, yes, I approve.
I sign. Mm-hmm.
This is high art. Okay. So everybody button up. for what we got. Okay, I need to like situate all my stuff. Okay,
would you do you need some warm tea?
So this, yeah. Turn off the air conditioning. That's what Aretha would always say, which we did. So I think I'm ready. They're walking through the wilderness to an abandoned pool. I can't tell how old they are, 50 or 82. Tourist group in wetsuits diving for human-sized cocoons. Put them in that pool. And it makes them feel shiny and new. 'Cause of aliens. Feels like they're back in their prime. Thanks to Antarians. They're so horny, like all the time. Pools overrun with old folks. Cocoons are fading fast. Old guys do the right thing and help them back to Atlantis. Lightning strikes, foggy night. Spaceship comes to take them home. Oh, they'll live forever. Yeah, they'll live forever, but they'll still be old. With Antarians, feels like they're back in their prime. With Antarians, screw the families, leave them behind. Whoa, 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 they're old.
Fucking amazing. That is the best thing that has ever happened to this show.
Fuck their families.
Which, yeah, that is my biggest gripe.
That's
too.
That's mine too. I didn't even have kids and I was like, this is shady as fuck. Like, come on, like, Grandpa.
You saddle him with that bullshit of like, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm not going to tell your mom. And so now his kid is living the rest of his life.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, we're going to live forever and we won't ever have pain or sickness. Isn't that great? And as the grandkid, I would have been like, but you want me to die? I have to stay here? I have to get sick? I have to get old and die? What do you mean?
Like, you selfish motherfucker.
Truly. That is the biggest plot hole for me.
Only eclipsed by the, there's about 4 minutes where I'm like, are they going to take the kid with them?
I know. Or like take the kid and the daughter?
Mom, you weren't doing that good. So you're off the hook with the parenting. He's an alien now. Yeah. If you haven't seen Cocoon, no, that explained it. That song covered everything. And you might be thinking, yeah, but I don't really get the feel for the weird plot.
Yeah, very
weird.
I skipped movie. A lot because truly in the movie you're just like, what, there's things missing with this. Something's missing.
What a like, I gotta say, I enjoyed this movie very much.
I did too.
I had a great time watching it.
It was fun.
I'm so glad I finally got to see it. As we discussed when we drew it, this movie is really hard to find. Yeah. You can't watch this digitally, and the DVD's been out of print, so you have to like, the cheapest one that you can buy on Amazon is like $55.
Oh my God.
That's insane.
So we were able to do this through the power of our local library and the exchange.
Yay.
So thank you to both.
That's magical.
And even then, like I asked about a Blu-ray and they were like, I don't think you want that. It's $90. And I got a very old standard edition DVD for $23.
Jeez. I wonder how much you could get on resale.
Yeah, that's true. Get this right on.
I mean, at least 50 probably. Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I might flip the disc over and watch the full screen version because that's how old this copy is.
That's a wicked Friday night show. Yeah.
But there's, to be clear, there's not like one solid answer for why you can't watch this. Mm. It is probably something about the estate of James Horner and the music rights.
James Horner's dead?
What?
Is he dead?
Not to be a jerk.
Yeah, he's been dead for 11 years.
Oh, wow. Oh. Okay.
Missed that. R.I.P.
I mean, that's such a weird thing to me. I'm like, no offense, but the music is not worth holding this movie in jail.
No.
Right. It's Let's relax. Let's just calm the fuck down.
He died in a plane crash.
What?
Oh, no.
Like a small, like a, he was flying a tiny plane. And it crashed into the forest.
Wow. Stay out of tiny planes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these white people.
Harrison Ford, we're talking to you.
Stay out of tiny planes. Stay out of the deep ocean.
Yeah.
Not how many times do we have to tell you?
Oh, it's.
Then leave things in caves.
I don't think I have to say allegedly because this is. He was flying a tiny plane, fucked up.
Oh.
Found one, I can't pronounce, codeine and ethanol in his body.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Well,
shame.
What are you doing? I mean, that's a shame.
Wow.
But yeah, it might be something. It's usually around music rights when one of these.
I was curious if it was around the Gravity song. The song when they're break dancing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a sight.
Sometimes it's whoever bought it most recently, like, has plans for the property or something, and for whatever reason is holding it back right now. Mm-hmm. I guess Disney owns this now, but this is the second time this has happened to me in 2 weeks, because I was trying to watch the Cannonball Run for radio purposes.
That's,
and it's
not available.
Completely unavailable.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Huh. So, hey, buy physical media.
Yes, right. Seriously.
Or moreover, support your local libraries.
Yeah.
None of us had seen this, no. Right?
Correct.
I was shocked that Camila hadn't seen it, but there's a caveat to that. That was when I was conflating it with The Fly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. Because I'm like, what about this movie or me?
Truly, at once I know, and I mentioned it because some friends and I have like a movie night, and I mentioned it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch Cocoon, and I don't like horror, so I'm kind of freaked out. My one friend was like, you do not need to worry. It's basically like Splash.
It is very much like Splash.
Yeah. I conflate it with Splash, which I also haven't seen, but it's not horror. I have seen few things more horrific than that. Dying
alien.
Yeah.
Slowly fading into death it did not know was possible.
Right. Yeah.
Is that where Men in Black came up with that idea of the little guy in the thing?
Maybe. Oh, maybe. It does look
a lot like that. It's basically the same scene, just tiny.
Yeah.
Between that and the skin suits, like, first when you first see
her. Yeah, I have in my notes, it looks great when she takes off her Eggers suit.
But it's a little freaky then. It's really freaky when they start throwing the skin suits against
like
the wall.
That. Yeah,
no.
They throw them in like a chest.
Uh-huh.
It's like a footlocker that they're like, just leave our skin in there.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even enjoy her very nice butt when it came up. Yeah. I was like, it's the skin suit.
So. Yeah, I know. And like Steve Guttenberg being so like horny for her.
The peeping
after
on
seeing
her.
That. I'm sorry, but if a guy took his skin off in front of me, I'd be like, nice knowing ya.
Right.
This has been fun. See ya.
There's no way. There's nothing. No.
I did have a brief. It's in my notes. Okay, please show us how to fuck the alien.
Yeah.
The next note is, oh, like that.
I must have fell asleep. How was that? What was
that? She like makes her energy come out of her body. They go in the pool. She makes her energy come out of her body. It like zips around the room, blasts into him, and gives him an immediate orgasm.
Well, I mean, it's no muss, no fuss. Like, yeah.
like he seems satisfied.
Right. Like, no muss,
no fuss. Antarian porn has to be very unsatisfying because it was like, well, as the viewer, there was not much here. Let me briefly with all that we have to talk about, this will be a little briefer than usual. Cocoon came out June 21st, 1985, the eighth number one movie of that year. Made $7.9 million that weekend, ending the 4-week run of Rambo First Blood Part 2, and handily beat the debuting Life Force and Return to Oz. Neither stood a chance. But just a 1-week number one movie in America, it lost its sophomore frame to Clint Eastwood's Pale Rider. But still defeated the debuting St. Elmo's Fire. St. Elmo's Fire opened in fourth.
Mm.
Wow.
Not a number
Wasn't
one.
Wasn't that written by a local?
Yeah. Carl Kurlander.
That's it.
You done let us forget.
Can I leave that in?
Well, some of us forgot in that moment, so.
Hung around the bottom of the chart for a very long time. It was in and out of the top 10, but 16 weeks in the top 12. basically all summer into the fall, and made $76.1 million. This is the sixth highest grossing movie of 1985.
Wow.
The only movies that made more were Back to the Future, Rambo 2, Rocky 4, The Color Purple, and Out of Africa.
Ron Howard knows how to make movies that make money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just really shows you like how different movie stuff was back then.
Right.
If this came out now, it would be like, not, you know,
The Sheep Detectives.
Like, it wouldn't even come. Yeah. It wouldn't come out now. It would be like, it wouldn't even get made now.
No.
Or it would be like a full on horror. Like they would.
Yeah. It would definitely be more of a horror thing. And it wouldn't be quite as jarring, I guess, to see like Paul Rudd in this role.
I did write down, if they remake this in 10 years, I'll be perfect. I too have done most of my aging early. But like, 55-year-olds don't look the same.
Well, it's not even like, it's not just Wilfred Brimley. Like Morgan Stapleton isn't even 60 in this. Like, Hume Cronin, we'll talk about it, and Jessica Tandy are legit old.
Mm-hmm. Jessica Tandy, by the way, face card never declined.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
No matter how old that woman got.
But this is where I talk about how I have a huge crush on Hume Cronin now.
Please. I step aside.
I know, right?
Hume Cronin, age 74 in this film with his glass eye, can get it.
He has a glass eye?
Yes, he has a glass eye, and I know this because I listened to the commentary. And in the fight scene, he knocked out the stunt double. Because he doesn't have depth perception, and he was a serious boxer in his youth.
Oh, snap.
So like he knows how to throw a punch, and he was like, I'm going to throw a real punch, but I'm going to stop short. But he did not stop short and knocked him out cold.
Oh, snap.
And then Ron Howard was like, and you could tell he felt pretty good about himself.
Walked a little taller that day.
A bit of swagger.
What's next on my list? Hume Cronin was both the Golden Globes. Oh, okay,
there
great.
We go.
Covered. This was followed by Cocoon: The Return in 1988. The full original cast is in that movie.
What?
Wow.
So 3 years later. Okay. Yep. Wow.
Everybody returned.
It doesn't surprise me. They seem to be having a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just surprised that they were all still alive.
Yeah. Are they all? Yeah.
Well, they were only 50, to be fair. Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're 56 now?
They were 35 when they shot Cocoon. Yeah.
Having everyone back didn't help. Bad reviews, debuted in fourth, made less than $19 million total.
So dang.
It's no one watched it, did they?
No.
I saw a clip from it when I was just like YouTubing various Cocoon things.
As you do.
As you do. Honestly, mostly to make sure that I got the Antarian name right, that I was saying it right for the recap. And I had to do way too much digging for that. I wasted half my life. But I ended up seeing a clip of Joe talking to his wife. So I was like, okay, well, obviously they came back and they're like on, or maybe they were. I guess they could have been on the, because they both went on the ship. But I don't know. But it was like, it seemed sad, and I saw people in the comments talking about how it wasn't well received.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they come back because they're conflicted and they can't decide whether it's, you know, it's all like, did we make a mistake? And
oh, typical.
That's not a good juice for a sequel.
No.
Yeah, that is a movie I would watch if it were easily available to me. I'm absolutely not going to go to great lengths that are apparently required.
Oh, no. Cocoon The Return is everything.
It's available.
You could stream that on gas station TV.
Which is so funny. It's so funny that like the original was like kind of beloved and the sequel nobody liked, but they're like, you can watch that as much as you want, guys.
Right. I might watch it.
And it's crazy to me that it wasn't quite as well received with the original cast being there, because I just assumed that none of them were part of the second
right
one.
I think Brian Dennehy's only in it a little bit, but literally everyone, including the kid who
Bastion!
I screamed. I was so happy when Bastion showed up.
I was like, oh my God, Bastion.
I had
first
to go like,
you see,
where do I know you from? But then I felt bad when I looked from the Neverending Story. He's the reader kid from the Neverending Story.
And wildly that he appears in back rooms as stock footage from Neverending Story.
Oh,
and I was like, oh my God.
It's the best.
I'm having a Barrett Oliver kind of week.
Are you not a Neverending Story person?
I watched it one time. It never stuck with me.
Mm.
It stuck with me much more than I wanted.
certain things stick with you from that one.
I said it was either the first or the second movie that Row House showed as a quote unquote drive-in movie during the pandemic. Mm. They like set up in a parking lot. Oh, okay. And I walked up to Brian and I was like, just so you know, when that horse dies, people are leaving. And he said,
spoiler alert.
Everyone knows the horse dies. Yeah.
And I don't think he had seen it or not in a long time. He's like, what do you mean? And I was like, he was like, I don't think anyone's going to pull out the pit, the horse, three cars' headlights turn on. It's wow. Like, yeah, the children are crying. The children started bawling, and now they're going home.
It was fun. My nibblings were just roasting my sister and brothers-in-law about making them watch The NeverEnding Story. Like, why would you do this to your own children?
Them kids need to learn. Yeah. They need to learn early.
It's tough love. I mean,
there's a lot of dark stuff. That's the only one that's, like, devastating. Yeah. Like, yeah. You are going to leave changed.
But spoiler part two, he comes back.
Kind of.
He's okay, guys.
I mean, I guess... Is that what we're meant to be?
Yeah, I can't remember.
At the end, they show Atreyu riding. He's riding. They,
okay.
Yeah.
Or is the kid dead?
And it's all a dream. I mean, it is kind of all.
Yeah, that's true.
I was about to say, save it for the never ending. Is that a number one movie?
I doubt it.
No. So we're not.
In my heart, it is.
Okay. Number one movie of the heart.
Cocoon. We've got so much to talk about.
Expensive baubles.
Expensive baubles.
Okay, so Don Ameche won, and I'm pretty sure visual effects won too.
Yes.
Yeah, this is me cheating because I watched the DVD, the commentary. We have to talk about Don Ameche's win because, first of all, I sent you all a picture this morning. Mm, yes. Cher presented that award.
No way!
And that outfit.
Cher presented that award in that outfit, which is her revenge outfit. She wore that because she was pissed off that she didn't get nominated for Mask.
She got stiff.
So she was like, yeah. I'm going to take all of the attention away from everyone else.
Well played.
She sure did.
Well played.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, look up Bob Mackey Cher 86 Oscars. You'll see it. But
she served that shit cold. Yes.
But Don Ameche, like, it's clearly, like, he's great in the movie, but I think it's very clearly one of these, like, you are a legend and an icon, and we would like to finally give you your moment kind of Oscars. And you could tell because they give him a standing ovation that lasts this long.
And the winner is Don Ameche in Cocoon.
It would please me very much if everyone that made a creative contribution to Cocoon would stand here with me in spirit, because they deserve to be here. And to them I give my deep, deep thanks. To all you members of the Academy, this esteemed gentleman here says that you have given to me your recognition. You've given to me your love. You have given to me, and I hope I have earned, your respect. For all these, I am deeply grateful. Thank you.
Also, that's a really classy speech.
Aww.
I have seen only Cocoon and Jagged Edge. Robert Loggia nominated for Jagged Edge.
We have an episode.
The only episode of this show that is just me and Robin.
Right, because Camila had just become a mother.
Yes. Right.
She was on maternity leave.
So like 7 years ago.
Who should have won? Eric Roberts?
No. It's a very... you know who should have won? Danny Glover.
Yeah,
which who was not nominated.
It'd be Klaus Maria Brander for
Couldn't
Out
tell
of
you
Africa.
The first thing. I've seen that movie.
William Hickey in Pritzi's Honor, Robert Loggia and Eric Roberts.
He's pretty good. I think this is the correct choice.
Yeah.
And not just for sentimental reasons, but I'm in favor of sentimental reasons influencing Oscar votes.
Sure. Visual effects. It didn't have to beat Back to the Future. Back to the Future was not nominated.
Okay.
Best visual effects. Wow. It beat Return to Oz. Return to Oz is an Oscar nominee.
And talk about childhood trauma.
And dude. Young Sherlock Holmes, which I've also not seen.
The effects are pretty good.
If my brain is in 1985, they're very
good. Yes.
Like, looking back now, I'm like, you just put glow everywhere.
Well, but it worked. Yeah. It was effective.
The ship is really good. Yeah. The ship is really good and looks better than like Close Encounters or, you know.
Right.
Other,
I think it was good for them to stay within the parameters of whatever they were able to do with it, mm-hmm. and still, like, they didn't go above and quote unquote above and beyond in order to try to be edgy or, you know, to go to be like number one doing this, blah blah blah. But
cutting edge,
yes, thank you,
yes,
brain fog.
There she is,
she's a cunning.
I'm not the only guest today, apparently,
right, yes. But it's just nice to see like practical effects done properly.
Yeah,
like you stay in your lane.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say is like the visual effects. Is that the right word for the special effects? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like the special effects mixed with the practical effects, I thought was really effective because of like the glowy stuff, the peeling, the when they're on the boat and Steve Guttenberg just catches them and then her ear is a little off.
Yeah.
And he comes over and like fixes her ear. I was like, well, that shit looked real.
Yes.
You could have fooled me. And like, I just think with the glowy stuff, him taking it off his hand in the pool,
that was the coolest shot in the whole movie to me.
Yeah. And no, then that cool. combined with then showing the skin suits being thrown off, I was like, this is really effective.
Yeah.
For 1985, I'll take it.
Yeah. That sad puppet. That really sad dying alien puppet.
Yes. Yes.
So, it's so, I didn't think anything would be worse than E.T. lying in the gutter. And that's so much worse.
Yeah. It's really...
Also nominated for Best Musical or Comedy at the Globes, but lost to Pritzi's. Remind me what Pritzi's Honor is again?
Pritzi's Honor is like mafia comedy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. It is one of those movies that was really hard to find for a while, and then when it mm-hmm. finally became rentable, I was like, we're watching it today! Because yeah. it's nominated for a shit ton of Oscars, and Angelica Houston won.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah. I saw that with my like movie club that I was telling you guys, about, because we watch like kind of bad, like, you know, whatever. Not bad, but like stuff that's not, that's forgettable or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she is pretty great in that movie, but I do not agree that movie's okay. I thought it was bad.
Mm-hmm. Like, I said okay kindly, I think. Yeah. Like, it was definitely a huge letdown when I saw it after so much buildup and knowing how many Oscars it was nominated for. I had very different expectations.
Yeah. I remember it being just really clumsy. I just was like,
who's the
this?
Woman, the main, is it Kathleen Turner?
I think so,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I am just shocked that Uncle Lewis from Christmas Vacation was an Oscar nominee
yeah.
3 years before Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Really?
That's wild. What else? This is based on a novel. The author's name is David Saperstein, but this is confusing. As far as I can tell, it was written more or less simultaneously, and that book, like, became the novelization.
What they Weird. Said on the commentary was that it was an unpublished novel okay. that the producer got her hands on, uh-huh. and then because they were making the movie, they were like, well, we can publish this.
Okay, yeah, because yeah, I saw the release of the book was dated July 1985, which
right.
is after the movie
right.
came out. It's not like an important book or anything.
No.
It's just apparently a transcript that was going around. Is that the word? A manuscript. That's
yeah.
what I'm looking for. Hey, Robert Zemeckis was supposed to direct this.
Oh, really?
But he was like just missing. Used Cars did badly. I Want to Hold Your Hand did badly. Fox executive saw an early cut of Romancing the Stone and hated it.
Oh,
wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
What
yeah.
a great movie.
Exactly.
Oh, so fun.
And then they fired him and went like, this is like Splash. Get the Splash. Even came Ron Howard.
And Ron Howard was, he talks in the commentary. He's like, I felt really intimidated working mm-hmm. with this cast. And he's like, so I leaned into, I know how to shoot shit underwater.
Right. Boy,
and that
does he.
Blonde alien was his diving instructor and diving supervisor
oh, wow.
on Splash. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And
how convenient that he looked like a weird alien.
Mm-hmm. Finally, just want to mention that Brian Dennehy spent a night out partying with Steve Guttenberg. Was swiftly arrested for DUI.
Oh, no.
And after a night in the drunk tank, he thanked the police officer for doing the right thing.
Wow.
What a nice fella. Also,
in the comment or in the like special features, he's just constantly chomping on a cigar.
Mm. Yeah. So I mean, it's Florida in 1985. Like, Brian Dennehy driving drunk is barely a crime.
Yeah, seriously.
That's fine.
He was like, yeah I'm surprised they stopped.
Right.
Yeah, they tried to make him governor after that.
So, funny story about my husband is that when he was in high school and in order to get into, like, college parties or something, he would use the name Brian Dennehy just because it was like... just recognizable enough that somebody thought that they knew that they could know who he was, but not enough as where it's like, no, that's the actor. Like, no, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Incredible. Wow.
I love that.
My favorite, I mean, people know this because it was in a special, but the thing that I always think of with him is Patton Oswalt telling this story where, like, when he was first getting invited to real premieres and real, like, his career had gone up, mm-hmm. he was so conflicted because all of the Hollywood premieres have giant mountains of gorgeous free food that he badly wanted to eat, but all of the celebrities are not touching any of it.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he would go to these and just like, avoid all of the free food until eventually Brian Dennehy came up to him, clapped him on the back and said, "Character actors, who gives a fuck if we're fat, right?"
I love it. Yes.
Great. Yep.
Is he still alive?
No, he passed.
Oh. Yeah. Wasn't in the last 5 years or so?
Yeah.
He passed in the early days of the pandemic.
That's what I thought. I remember. It stood out to me for that reason.
I don't think he's one of those people that died of COVID early on. No, I mean, he was old and not in great shape. Well, he was 81, but he was never 81. In great shape.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's a good haul.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to live much longer than that, to be honest.
There's a certain 81-year-old I hope would kick the bucket. Right.
There's a bunch of people in Kansas now that are like, "Oh, yeah, I think he came to our party."
And there was a movie that I like, kind of. Barely was finished, but then came out, I think, right around the time that he died, called Driveways, which is excellent. It's not exactly his last movie, but people treat it like his farewell movie, and had like the faintest glimmer of an Oscar campaign to get him that, you know, and it's very, very good. So if you're like, "Oh, that Brian Dennehy," after you fail to watch Cocoon because it's not available anymore. This is we've talked about this before. I want this VHS at the Lake House.
Yes.
I want this to be one of those movies that you're like, "Oh, the evening's winding down and it's raining a little bit on our weekend away, and I want to throw something on to like kind of melt into." Watching it with purpose, I was a little less
interesting.
Locked in. And I think it's because of as the song taught us, the weirdness of that. The narrative is kind of like, they're old and they're sad, so, but there's this pool and they're happy and they're horny, and also there's these aliens and the cocoons, and they can't die, but they needed to, and the thing, it's just like, this is not an easy movie to grab onto.
Right, I was mostly, I was left with the feeling like, this dialogue wasn't actually written. Like, it felt like it was all improv. Just because.
Guess what? You're right!
Are you serious?
What? Yes! Ron Howard was, first of all, he is kind of rude in his commentary about, like, he's like, "Yeah, so the original script was really missing a lot of stuff." And so because he had these legendary theater actors, right, who were all comfortable with improvisation, he was like, "Do it." So he said Don Ameche was not as comfortable with improvisation, but Hume Cronin, like, wrote a lot of his dialogue, and Wilford Brimley wrote a lot of his dialogue, including "Blue Steel, a cat couldn't scratch it," regarding his dick.
Is that where the phrase "blue steel" comes from?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
Is Zoolander quoting Cocoon?
I know, like, I don't know. I just assumed it was like cold steel. But I don't.
Listeners, get back at us if you know anything about "Blue Steel."
I'm Googling
no
this.
No photos, though. Please keep them to yourself.
I opened an incognito window. Where does the phrase
"on my Wi-Fi"
come from?
Oh, shit.
I mean, the AI overview, it is either an iconic comedic modeling pose made famous in Zoolander or a specific type of treated high carbon steel used in premium tools and blades. Okay, blue steel is
exists.
A thing.
It's a thing. Okay.
It is a Woo! Thing. That Wilford Brimley is comparing his boner to.
Yes.
The question is whether is Zoolander like, "Do you remember what Wilford Brimley said?"
I would bet that Ben Stiller was like, "Yeah."
And so they were developing the characters as they were filming, and I do think it really shows what makes this movie work are that the characters are really likable. Mm-hmm. What makes this movie not work as well is the underlying plot.
I was really expecting a lot more of like these really deep and meaningful dialogue from them, and like all of this like
you know, just like really underline life lessons, you know, that kind of thing. And I was just like, oh, okay. So we're just kind of fluffing it. Like that's.
Yeah. Like they didn't grapple with it at all that he would be leaving behind his daughter.
Yeah.
He only grandchild? Really cares about leaving his grandchild. It's very like, clear.
If my parents were like, see ya, we're going on a spaceship. We're going to live forever. We'll never have any pain. We'll never get sick. I would be like, hold on.
Right.
Let's talk this through.
Yeah.
Like, you know also that that kid's going to go to therapy in 15 years.
That's what I'm saying.
And his therapist is going to be like, so your grandparents lied to you.
Yeah. Right.
The scene where, sorry, I keep talking about my boyfriend, Hume Crow. Like, the scene where he and his real life bumbo, Jessica Tandy, they were married for over 50 years, including his Oscar nomination in 1944 and her Oscar win in 1989. Oh, wow. Him saying to her, like, if I had to choose between 6 months here with you or an eternity without you, tears. Yeah. And he wrote that.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, and going back to what you were saying about that they did ad-lib a lot of the dialogue, I think that you feel that. That's what makes it feel, not just feel like they're real characters, but makes them feel like they're actually friends.
Yes.
Like, I was watching this movie like, did these guys hang out in real life? Like, did they get on this movie together because they were already friends? Because that's what it felt like to me.
And also, like, the relationship with Jack Gilford's character, the, like, guy who's too good for the pool, whose wife dies. Like, I like that too, where they really like make sure it's like everybody's got that friend who is a little bit annoying. Everybody's
fucking
got their
Bernie.
I got really upset when all of the people charged the pool.
Yeah.
And I know that's partially because it led to the alien dying, but it's also just like, it was one of those moments in a movie that makes you hate humanity.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in a movie that's supposed to make you feel nice about humanity, I think.
We'll say it was not a great look that the first time they refused to let someone come to the pool, it was their black neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get we're doing two things at once here that don't happen a lot anymore. There's a related to Sad Space, but not Sad Space, is the mysterious wonder of space, which is like E.T. and Close Encounters, and like even Interstellar is kind of that. Like, there's this like, what's out there and what miracles does it have to show us, is a micro genre, as is wistful old people movie. And smashing them together is interesting, and I'm enjoying it. Like you said, I'm enjoying it like thematically, just not necessarily moment to moment.
Yeah, I think this is a good time for the trailer.
From the farthest corner of a distant galaxy and the deepest feelings of the human soul comes a fantasy to fill your heart.
I feel tremendous. I'm ready to take on the world. Oh, oh.
It is everything you've dreamed of. It is nothing you expect.
Oh, I can keep a secret. I won't tell anybody.
It's hard to know who to trust.
It is the mystery of an awesome secret. It is the miracle of everlasting life.
We'll never be sick, we won't get any older, and we won't ever die.
Beyond the innocence of youth and the wisdom of age lies the wonder of Cocoon. 20th Century Fox presents... from the producers of Jaws and the director of Splash, Cocoon.
Because I love that tagline.
What's that?
It's like, I don't have this right, but it's something like, between the innocence of youth and the wisdom of age and the wonder of eternity lies Cocoon.
Oh my.
Settle down.
So.
You're a movie about Wilford Brimley getting to fuck again. That's kind of the central.
So if given the choice, would you live forever?
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
You're a yes?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a yes also.
Really?
It's because you want to go to space, you motherfucker. That's why.
Well, I do want to go to space.
If you live forever, you could eventually get there.
we don't, there's, it's too packed of an episode to get into my existential dread, but.
Same. Just know I'm right there with you.
Yeah. We're microdosing
it. I don't want to watch everyone I love die.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, absolutely not.
I figure I'll meet new people.
Oh my God.
And also, I'll be sad. I'll be sad about each and every one.
Yeah,
and
then exactly.
I'll go to the coffee shop and be like, hey, can you be my friend now?
Exhausting.
So and how would you live forever in this sense with alien or a vampire?
Oh.
If a vampire walked up to me today and offered, I'd have a really tough time saying no. Like, I would be a little conflicted, but yeah. I would try to Dexter it and choose who I was eating.
We record during the day, Sean.
We don't have to.
We would make special provisions. Yeah.
All right, okay, accommodations.
Yeah, aliens or no, I think I would take the alien one if those were both on the table. But I would take either.
The alien one involves going to space.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
I liked when they were like, you will be teachers, because it reminded me of Project Hail Mary.
Yeah, me too, mm-hmm. me too. And I love that movie.
Project Hail Mary is in this genre a little bit. Because he's not sad
totally.
Enough. He's very rarely sad
yes,
in that movie.
Correct.
I know that Steve Guttenberg was on top of the world. Can anyone tell me why?
Who makes Steve Guttenberg a star?
Because he's charming and handsome.
He's so lovable.
Is he?
Yes.
Any 80s, of those three things?
80s yes. charming and handsome.
I guess you had to be a little girl in the 80s, maybe?
I don't know. I watched Short Circuit like every day for like six same. Months of my life.
I was not into
number
him.
Five is alive, baby.
Yes. Resemble butterfly.
But I could kind of see it in this movie. Like the attractiveness
oh, yeah.
in this one as opposed to Three Men and a Baby.
Because he's got good boat dirt bag vibes.
Yeah.
And there's a part of every woman who wants a boat dirt bag. Gender non-specified.
Right.
this also reminded, a lot of movies from the era do this. It reminded me that it was once possible to be a fuck up and it isn't now. You know, like you just had so few, like it was like Making Rent and Eating Maybe were all of your only financial obligations until about 1990. And now debt and insurance and all kinds of things.
I think actually Steve what Gutenberg is happening here, Sean, is that you were a child in 1990.
It's like,
I think
like,
it was always
thing,
there.
Funny thing, when I turned 18, all of a sudden there's all these responsibilities.
This is very true. I don't know. We need Kleiber for this because Kleiber actually knows Steve Guttenberg.
Oh,
interesting.
They made a movie together and hung out a lot, and maybe Kleiber can explain it to me from a non-attractive to Steve Guttenberg perspective.
Did any of you ever watch Party Down?
Mm-mm. No.
The a little bit.
Best episode of Party Down is that Steve Guttenberg as himself hired them to cater his birthday party, but it got canceled for whatever reason, but they show up anyway and he's like, well, just hang out with me. And so it's the cast,
I love that.
It's the cast and some rando characters hanging out in his house and like talking about his art. It's so good. It's so good.
So wholesome.
Yes.
Right?
I don't know what the dolphins are saying, but they're right. We keep cutting to these dolphins who keep looking at the humans and going, fucking aliens over here, but in dolphin.
Steve Guttenberg, afraid of dolphins.
Get out.
Yeah.
They kind of know that you're afraid of them if you are. And I was a little bit taken back by them. And they grab me a little bit and they nudge me and they poke me a little bit. And they look almost when they get back and they look at you, they kind of are smiling that you're afraid of them. They know they're not going to hurt you, but they kind of get enjoyment out of you thinking that they might. The first time I was in the water with them was at night. And being in the water at night with nine elephants is like, and especially in their turf, it's kind of scary. And they're the only animal I've ever been around that has a true soul. You know, a dog has a soul, but they kind of look at you and they're kind of, you know, puppies. But the dolphin looked at me, all the dolphins looked at me like they really knew what was going on. They were really aware and they were having a good time knowing that I was scared of them.
We have business and You Can't Handle the Truth, so who else has something they need to get to?
I do like that Gwen Verdon tells Don Ameche, you're a terrific dancer.
I would much rather go to that old people big band nightclub than the like watered down shitty loud nightclub they go
that
to.
That made
later.
Me think of my grandpa, my last living grandparent who was around until his 90s, and he loved big band music and he would go dancing. And that scene, I just was like, oh, Grandpa Klein. Like, it just like he would have been there. That would have been his scene, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about Don Ameche had a 19-year-old dance double for the break.
Clearly.
Yes. 19.
The Antarians are Nepo babies. One is what? Raquel Welch's daughter, and one is Tyrone Powers.
I did see that was Raquel Welch's daughter.
Yes.
I thought you meant contextually.
Yeah. Hey, this is deep. Like, let's get into that.
I wrote down, is this because there were young Xanax producing it? And sure enough, Tyrone Power Jr. and whichever Xanax this was, childhood friends. Yes. May the Force be with you. They were not giving people permission to use that in movies, but Ron Howard pulled the I was an American graffiti and I was good at it card.
I did wonder about that. Yes. I wondered how they got away. I was like, is that why nobody can find this movie anywhere?
he like literally called up George Lucas and was like, hey, remember that time that you had your breakout movie and I was the star of it? Can I please? I think I know the answer, sir. And nope, that's it. Those are my notes.
I just have to say, Camila and I were talking about perimenopause when you got here, Robin, and because I barely talk about anything else these days, but knowing what I know about perimenopause made me so horrified for those women after the men came back with their boners. I just was like, I hope these bitches are on some estrogen cream.
Right.
Because there's going to be a bloodbath.
Like, you know, none of them have lube, right? No. It hasn't been relevant.
No. They got to go find, one of the nurse carts and steal some lube.
I mean, Vaseline. It's probably Vaseline.
Yeah, okay.
This is more detail. See, this is Addie always makes things more explicit. From
for the very first.
I am who I am.
Yeah.
The first episode 4 of You Can't Handle the Truth. God, when the hell even was that?
Oh, God. Well, it was whenever. Was it Bad Grandpa? Is that what the movie was?
How could she not?
It was Bad Grandpa.
2015.
2013.
2013. Wow. Okay.
13 years
over
ago.
Over a decade ago. Yeah.
Wow.
I have to bring up a quote, one of the Steve Guttenberg quotes that I was like, huh? There were a couple things in this movie that I was like, okay, it's the 80s, that were vaguely like communist era. I forget what happens, but I think it's when they're on the boat and he finds out that they're aliens.
Yeah.
And they explain to him what they're doing. And he goes, well, none of this is bad for America, I guess. Yeah. What? Like, if they were Russian, he would have had second thoughts. Yeah,
but I mean, it was the 80s.
This was like, what? Just happened.
Yeah.
Don Ameche's Oscar on The Simpsons.
Oh, my God. This is becoming a problem.
What?
Us talking about The Simpsons or me talking about Don Ameche?
Don Ameche.
You Cronin is the one I'm obsessed with.
Oh, gotcha.
What about Don Ameche's Oscar on The Simpsons?
So there's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer built a trophy case and they like pan over to the trophy case and it's just like one stolen Oscar. Mm-hmm. And the original Oscar that he stole was Hank Nor's Oscar from The Killing Fields. Mm-hmm. But they had to change it in syndication to Don Ameche's Oscar because Hank Nor was murdered. And they were like, this makes it seem like Homer Simpson murdered him.
Well,
I mean, maybe
there's something off about that man.
Does he have an alibi?
By the way, appropriately, your letterbox list is feature length X-Files episodes.
Yes.
Which is a little like some of these are exact. I think Cocoon is very appropriate for that.
Oh, for sure. Is there a Twilight Zone that is similar to Cocoon?
Probably.
Okay.
But a lot of these are Night Strangler, Firestarter, Mothman Prophecies. A lot of these are exactly that. This has too many. This has like Frankenstein and Fright Night and The Omen. And I'm like, okay, that's the stretch. But still, good list. Good list.
I also sort of got The Abyss vibes from this. This felt kind of like the poor man's The Abyss in some ways to me. I love The Abyss. It's been a minute since I saw
it. Talk about amazing effects.
Oh my gosh. That movie is magical to me. I don't know if it would hold up if I went back to watch it now, but
it's pretty good.
Felt very kind of like in the same vein, but The Abyss is like better production. And
80s water sci-fi.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it and didn't love it. I can't. I want to go into the 70s, but I can't. So 69.
It's not. It is not a great movie. I enjoyed it so much. I'm going to go 75.
I think I'm hovering right around where you guys are. Like, there was a lot I enjoyed about it. There were a lot of delightful things, yeah. I thought, but ultimately the plot holes were just not good to me. So I have to give it like a 65.
Mm-hmm.
Retirement age.
52.
Oh, okay. I feel like we didn't get into
we didn't get enough of your...
the lack of like a real script, I was... For me, like, I understand giving them the opportunity to do some improv. And sure, like, at some points, it's fine. That's great. But I felt like that it was just missing some, like, deeper meaning, some deeper dialogue in there. And two, I'm really pissed about him telling his grandson that he was leaving and then to not tell his mother.
Yeah.
Because that's just really, that fucks up. That's
that
fucked
whole
up.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Really,
also, where the hell was Bastion between the DMV and that scene? Like, I know he doesn't live there, but we forgot about him Latch for like an hour.
Does that mean he was doing improv?
He was actually writing the script of this movie as they shot.
It's a 65 and a quarter. Seems fine. If you want to know if you agree, sorry, you can't watch this movie. There's nothing we can do for you.
Hopefully,
you know enough about it from my song recap. It's fine.
I don't think we have anything for the bingo card. As I said off mic, shockingly, Walter Matthau is none of these people. So
crazy to me.
What did I veto? What did we veto to get? Oh, District 9. None of the people on the bingo card are in District 9 either. Well, we mostly agreed on that. We mostly agreed on the X-Files. We've been agreeing recently. So, and I said maybe in the last episode, Tony, give us something we can disagree about. At least Robin and I found it.
Yeah.
And I'll punt to you.
I was going to punt to you. So we're talking about Obsession. Did either of you see Obsession?
Not yet.
Okay. And I'm not going to tell you not to see it is the thing. Like, especially you, Camila, like you will. You're not going to see it.
No.
Right?
Yeah. Nope. I might read the wiki plot synopsis. Yes. But.
So I hated this movie. When the credits rolled, I shouted rudely to the theater. I hated that!
Wow. You texted me mid-movie.
I did. I texted Sean while I was peeing. Like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. That's an exaggeration.
You peed in the theater? You were pissed.
Well, damn, you girl. See, it was part of the weird conditions of this curse. Where to begin? Mm-hmm. This is why I wanted to punt it to you, because watching this movie... I was sort of like, why would anyone like this? But I know that it is making so much money, and I'm seeing other people's very high Letterboxd ratings.
A lot of
I gave it a 10.
I gave it 5 stars. Tell me why.
Without spoiling it.
Yeah. I thought it succeeded at everything I expected it to succeed at and was really impressively filmed.
I thought it was so dark and ugly.
But I think they meant to. Like, there was a
make
lot
make a
of,
different choice that is less an assault on my eyes.
I'm thinking of the shot. There are multiple shots where he is in a room with light and she is in a room without light, and she is a shadow. Like, you cannot discern a single feature of this silhouette.
You're telling that me that she's not a real character?
Because she's literally... narratively not a real character.
Yeah.
She's a narrative construction within the reality of this thing.
Yeah, she sure is.
Which I will give back to you in a minute. But I love the performances. I interpret it as an assault on a certain breed of passive male in the year 2026. And so I like that story. I love the score. I love the performances, particularly the lead woman whose name I can't pronounce yet. I've heard it 50 different ways.
I keep hearing it different. I think it's Inda.
Inda.
But I've heard it different ways.
And then I just really loved that. It was a 9 that the direction and the cinematography pushed to a 10 for me. But tell me... I believe we are going to diverge on narrative interpretation.
Okay. Well,
I'm guessing. That was my assumption.
This is mild spoiler territory, but like, I struggle with the point of view character being an unrepentant rapist is like the start and the finish of why I hated this movie so much. But I also think it doesn't make any sense. Like, his wish is for her to love him more than anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how people in love act.
Yeah, I think you could make that.
I thought because of the title it would be, I want her to be obsessed with me.
Mm.
And she does act like she's obsessed with him.
Mm-hmm.
Obsession is bad. Love is not bad.
Mm.
Love is only bad if you're afraid of women.
Mm. To me, that didn't trip me up.
And this is me not saying, but maybe it's because this character, for someone to make a wish for somebody to love them more than anything else in the world, they don't know what love is.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so thereby him making the wish, whatever his...
What his interpretation is.
See, what spills over to
it. It is a monkey's paw. He literally, the director said he was inspired by the monkey's paw, Treehouse of Horror. Mm. We're letting these babies make movies now. And I think that most Be Careful What You Wish For stories have, the wish has flaws, like you're saying. And I think that it's really, you're helping me more than ever by saying maybe it was his inner understanding, but I would like it so much more if it was a poorly phrased wish.
Sure.
And, or for example, like the one thing that happens to someone else in the movie is a great example. That is, to me, classic Be Careful What You Wish For. Mm-hmm. This is not at all what he wished for. And it, so it doesn't really make sense to me. And like, I we'll talk more later because this is getting very spoilery, but like, that one scene which kind of like changes the nature of what's going on was very like, well, what the fuck? Why does this make sense? And then I also just hated watching it. Like,
it's gory and it's challenging to watch.
Yes. It's hard to talk about how much I hated it
without spoiling it.
Right. Exactly.
Well, just think season 2, episode 16, Buffy.
And I was also thinking about the episode of Buffy with the sex bot.
Yeah.
Because she acts very much like that sex bot.
Okay.
And that episode, I forgot to look up who wrote it, but like on a show with Joss Whedon, who we've talked about it. Joss Whedon, who is fake feminist Joss Whedon, showed more care and concern for the inner life of that fucking robot than this movie ever shows for Nikki.
What about the scene where she's asleep and
that's
Nikki
what
talks?
I was talking about. That scene makes the movie make no sense to me.
Jane Espenson wrote that episode.
Oh, that makes sense. Jane Espenson, I love you so. Anchovies are so delicious. You're the best of all the fishes. Anyway.
That's interesting because I think that scene did the thing that you're talking about, and you're saying that scene proved that it didn't.
This is not a Be Careful What You Wish For story. This is a fraudulent product story that induces possession, which doesn't make sense to me. But why didn't we get a scene of Nikki at the beginning of the movie being a normal person? Like, because they don't think of her as a person. They think of her as a plot construct because they don't think women are people.
Okay. Let's get into it. Let's stop it near her.
Yeah.
Because
now I will say, like, yeah, this is definitely a male made movie.
Yeah.
So I would not at all deny your experience of it, and I'm sure that I'm giving it more credit than it probably deserves.
I just don't want it to be spoiled. I mean, yeah. I don't know, Robin's grappling with this. Yeah. And I don't want.
To me, it's a movie about what happens when someone who doesn't understand love and especially doesn't understand women gets what he thinks he wants. It's an illustration of how you can't have love if you don't see the object of your affection as a human being. You're getting not a human being in return. If you think you want this, you don't. Because you don't understand or respect women.
If he said something like, I want someone to love me more than anything in the world, that would make a little bit more sense to me. But he wants this one specific person who we know nothing about. Except for she's pretty.
Yeah, but that's an indictment of him, not the movie, right?
Is it though? I kept feel like this is where I start thinking like maybe it's my media illiteracy, to use my least favorite term, but like it just kept feeling like she is acting like a crazy bitch girlfriend. And it was like, oh, you're better off being single because if you open your heart, you have to deal with a crazy bitch. That is what it felt like. I know that's not the intent. I know that's not the intent, but it felt like the output.
It's definitely not going to be a movie for everybody.
No.
That is certainly true. I mean, you said it pretty much the first thing. This is kind of that debate over whether or not the central character can be the antagonist.
Right. And it absolutely works sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite movies ever is Young Adult, right?
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't rape anybody, though. Yeah.
It's
just to spend the whole fucking movie raping someone.
Right. Right. No, it's dark shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I almost and that's before we get into Sarah.
Or the fucking cat.
Oh no.
Yeah, if you
Camilo, like, should we step out?
I don't know, right? I feel like
if you like milkshakes, cats, maybe. Yeah, this is the closest to a blanket. Like, no, you have to not really love cats. There's a lot of gray area on some of the animal triggers.
That's I knew going in. Yeah. Which thank like Colin told me, he was like, there's something you have to know about this movie before we watch it. And Colin is very good. He knows I don't like spoilers and he knows when to play that card. Yeah. And he was like, I am playing the card.
Right.
So I knew going in, but I will tell you that I keep every time I don't see my cat for more than 20 minutes, I'm like, gotta go find Sprink. That will hopefully eventually go away.
The closest thing to a neat divide I can say, and this is if anything to support your point of view, is that serious horror people are giving this 5 stars. Mm. And people who are film people who will watch a good horror movie are giving it much, much less.
I'm the latter category.
Yeah. Mm. So that might influence.
You are the former.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might influence your decision on whether or not to see this, which is totally fine. Did you
Camila's
think
Camila's going to have to be the tiebreaker on that?
I know, right?
I know. Both.
You have so much power.
I mean, the other people are saying Inda.
That is the thing I've heard Indian. More than once, but I've also heard Indy. I don't know.
Indy Navarrete star-making performance.
Absolutely. That little frown. Yeah. When that little frown happened, I whispered to Colin, I know who's winning Best Lead Performer from Pittsburgh Film Critics Association.
Yeah, maybe. We're a very horror-focused group.
Yeah.
Good for Andy Richter.
What about Andy Richter?
Than him being in this movie.
I forgot about that entirely.
He's Sarah's dad.
I completely.
He's always in the background.
Fully forgot that Andy Richter was in this movie. Yeah. There's so much going on to not like.
Well,
can I pivot to? Are we? So first of all, are you okay? Because you said you were nervous. Was I mean to you?
No.
Okay.
No, I feel I. This is one of those times where I feel like we're walking away going. Sean's thinking the Sean thing and Robin's thinking the Robin thing. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
This is part of why I love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Because anytime a disagreement like this happens, you're kind of like, you know, you say what you need to say, but, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's respectful and you're just really cute friends.
Oh, thank you, Addie.
We've been doing it a long time.
Can I pivot to Backrooms?
Yeah, and I haven't seen it yet.
I can't believe I said before we were recording, I was like, I thought you would have camped outside the theater mm-hmm. for Backrooms. It's mm-hmm. just so Sean-coded.
I've never heard of this. What is it?
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, the director made it when he was 19.
Oh.
And
let's just all sit with that perimenopausally.
There's
my rage is bubbling.
Yes.
Let's all have a perimenopause.
Yeah, I often wish a pair of men would pause.
I know, hey. That's right. Cue the climax song.
There is a debate will go on forever and it will always be very, very frustrating because he is so young and so relatively inexperienced. This is getting the Poltergeist rumor, Poltergeist is too good. Toby Hooper isn't that good of a director. Steven Spielberg really directed Poltergeist.
Huh.
Because James Wan, Sean Levy, and Osgood Perkins are all credited producers on Backrooms. People are saying one of them directed it.
No way.
19-year-old did not direct it.
No, that's just not true.
I don't think that's true.
They probably gave him some advice. Right. That's how producing works.
Yeah. Right, go on.
It's not for me. The main thing I will warn everyone is that if you have sensory issues, do not see Backrooms because it is all fluorescent lighting and the sound that fluorescent lights make is like amped up 10%. And I can barely handle that sound at normal volume.
Oh my God.
I literally had to put my fingers in my ears for all the scenes when they were in the back rooms.
Why would you do that?
Awful. Because it's a horror movie and they want to make you feel really uncomfortable. And I understand the choice. It just made me basically hate the movie.
Right.
But like trying to get past my own sensory issues and just thinking about it as a movie, like it's fine. It's very surface level. Like, that's why I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not really surprised a teenager made this, because it's very like, this looks very cool. This is very spooky atmosphere. There is a scene that scared me more than anything I've seen in a movie theater in 5 to 10 years. Wow. Or when did Nope come out? That's the last time that I was that scared in a movie theater.
21, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah. So 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm thrilled that it's going to make all this money. It seems like everybody enjoys it more than me. I think you'll love it, Sean.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'm very happy for horror right now. It's convenient that the only thing that seems completely box office
bulletproof
is horror. I don't know how it happened, but it's happening. Obsession.
I think it's partially that we live in a horror movie.
Yeah, that's
as
true.
A non-horror person, I would agree with that, because I, as a non-horror girly, went back and watched Buffy again from the start for the umpteenth time, because I was like, well, at least I'm seeing like actual horror of like demons and whatnot, where people are doing the right thing, and like I can think about that instead of thinking about all
the
of
horror.
This.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obsession has crossed $100 million globally on a $1 million budget.
Holy moly.
And Backrooms was like started
it cleared its budget on Thursday.
It started as like, this might be a little bit of a sleeper hit. It's going to win the weekend with $50 to $60 million.
Yeah. And apparently all young people, based on my experience in the theater yesterday afternoon.
Well, they're all out of school.
What else have you seen? And then I want to throw it to Addie.
Is God Is.
Oh man, I want to see it so bad.
It's really hard to watch.
I just know I'll love it.
It's, I'll quote friend of the show, Devin Marshall, incredible movie. I recommend to no one.
Well, maybe I'll wait and watch it at home.
Oh, it's an at-home movie for sure. Okay. Yeah. Sean, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. You know, because I know who I am, I gave Obsession a 10 and I gave Is God Is a 9. But, Is God is the one where I'm like, this is Reservoir Dogs. This is is a major filmmaker who is going
emerging,
to make
important
movies emerging.
And I don't know if it's Kara or Cara Young, but holy shit. Like, I know she has a couple of Tonys at this point, but I had never seen her in anything.
Neither had I.
And oh my God, she's phenomenal.
Also, the
all the actors are good in it.
It's Sterling K. Brown. Oh my God. I feel like he turned his head 5 degrees and turned all of his charm to
evil. Back of the neck acting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
He's so evil.
I love it. And I love him. Mm-hmm. And so I can't wait to see him in this type of role.
We've talked about this before. The first thing I ever saw him in was that episode of Supernatural where he is so fucking scary. Yes. And so this was really great to see him return to that like blood chilling.
Have you seen Hotel Artemis?
Yes.
It wasn't quite as evil in but
yes, I love him in that. I mean, he can do anything, but I love him in that mode.
And Home will be fine, but if you're hearing about Obsession and Backrooms and you're like, I don't know, give that money to Is God Is.
It's so hard to watch,
It is really hard to watch, but it's really good, and it's not actually making a lot of money.
Okay.
But the performances are so good, and it's so visually hypnotizing.
I was just going to say, it's the way that some of those shots are composed. Mm-hmm. It's especially interesting coming from a playwright.
Yeah.
It's just very cinematic. Like, it was one of those movies based on a play where you're like, how did that fucking work in the play? Right? Like, how did they do this on stage? The main characters are twins, and they communicate telepathically like twins do, and it's done through captions on screen.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, it's so good.
Oh,
it's so. I saw it with Colin, and he was like, twins, twins, twins! He's a twin.
Adorable. Yeah. But is he telepathic?
You know, they're fraternal twins.
Does not count. Addie, what have you been seeing at the movie theater?
I don't think I've... I did see Project Hail Mary, which I loved. Super fun and, like, just very, like, human. And I just loved every minute of it.
Amaze, amaze, amaze.
I have been watching a little more... I don't see movies in the theater a whole lot. I have been watching a little more, like, TV
recently.
We
talk about that, too.
I binged all of Dying for Sex, which was amazing. Michelle Williams.
I need to watch that.
It is incredible. It's a quick watch. It's 8 episodes. And like, I honestly, like partway through, I was like, are they going to wrap this up in 8 episodes? Which they do, you know, but it's like, oh, the cast. Michelle Williams, Jenny Slate, Rob Delaney, the whole, Sissy Spacek, the whole cast is incredible.
And the story is heartbreaking, but they're so fucking funny. And there's a lot of weird sex in it. And it is explicit. Like, it's just, at the core, it is about these two women who are friends.
Yeah.
So, like, you will love it.
Okay.
Like, you will absolutely love it. It's one of the best shows I've watched in the last 5 years or so. I also am a Euphoria girly, and this season is... this show has always been, like, very sensationalized.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't take it seriously, so I'm enjoying it because I'm like, let's see what they get up to this week. Like, you know. So it's been, yeah, it's kind of a mess, but I love it. So I'm having fun with that. I think, did I? Oh, and I started rewatching Insecure again because Issa Rae has a new podcast called Block Party where they're, like, revisiting. She and Prentice Penny are, like, revisiting the series. I don't think they're doing, like, a one-to-one with episodes. They're just kind of, like, talking about different things.
Oh, that's fun.
Having on different characters or writers or whatnot. I've only listened to the first episode so far, but I'm rewatching the series again because it's one of my favorite shows of all time. And, man, it just... Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
I don't listen to a lot of those episode recap show. Those, like, we worked on this TV show 10 years ago. Let's talk about it. I love that they exist, though.
Yeah.
I feel like that must be, like director commentary on DVDs, yes. But for TV people. Yes. That, I it love must it. Be so thrilling.
I wish they would do one for every single episode.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they would do it by episode, you know?
Yeah.
The one I was surprised exists is Sterling K. Brown has a This Is Us
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm like... Is there that much to say? I never watched This Is Us. Oh. Is there?
It was so yes. huge okay. when it was out. Yes.
There it yeah. is. Okay. What was even more, it's crazy because, I mean, one, it was set in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Yeah. It had me in a chokehold from the first episode, from the very first episode. And it was kind of, for me anyway, it got really into my DNA because my life and our adoption journey was kind of going on at the same time. It was like parallel to what was happening on the show.
You didn't stand a chance.
No. No. Kleenex owes me money or something. Because, I mean, like, because every single fucking episode, those first two seasons had me fucking bawling. And I wouldn't change a thing. And I'll still go back to, like, I loved that show. Everybody was phenomenal.
My only connection with it is my my well-respected ex, Pittsburgh Magazine. I don't know if the magazine provided or just licensed or what, but there were era appropriate issues of Pittsburgh Magazine.
Oh, that's cool.
On the set.
That's awesome.
So they, like, made sure they had, like, an late 80s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like an 80s really Pittsburgh cool. Magazine.
Yeah, they even go back at like later seasons. They go back to the Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. Inception, whatever.
Reception.
Yeah. whatever. Immaculate Football.
Third time's the charm. Immaculate Inception is just liking a Christopher Nolan movie. Too much. Too much.
Sean, hearing you ask if there's enough fodder for this podcast, I never watched it, but I remember when it was on and people everybody was talking about it.
That was a water cooler show in Pittsburgh for sure.
Yeah.
And it was a decent time when there wasn't anything else that was, like, really appointment TV for me at the time. Like, I would absolutely be like, yes, but I'm here on Thursdays, whatever.
I guess I'm just saying I haven't listened to enough of these shows because I don't know what there is to say about I don't know what the actors in a drama have to say 10 years later. If it's a comedy, if it's The Office, they're sharing funny stories from the set. If it's a sci-fi whatever, there's, like, you know, breaking it down. But if you're like, yeah, but it was sad when we said the sad thing.
They do a lot of things. That's a lot of directorial choices. A lot of they talk to the writers. They talk to, like, okay, why did you decide when you... There's a lot of this insight where even, like, some of the other actors, and it's also great because you've got this cast, and a lot of times, neither the two cross.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't, like, so-and-so never got a chance to share a scene with so-and-so because they're, like, because they were in flashback and they are in present time. So, we now get them talking about what my choices were when I decided to say the line like this, that kind of thing. And they also do this great thing of where, and it's a Pittsburgh number. Mm-hmm. They have a number to call if you were a fan of the show to, like, share your stories, too.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. I have not done it. Don't know.
You should.
Hey, Sterling.
You're like, the crying lady's back.
What have you been watching?
Well, I recently binged The Pitt, speaking of Pittsburgh-based shows. It took me a long time to get into it. It took me 9 episodes before I was like,
Wow.
Now you got me. Like, now
I'm impressed
here.
With your stamina.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's really, it's very superficial. Why? Mm. Because Sean Hattasy was showing up and I was like, I'm going to stick around.
You know what? He looks good.
He looks so good. Who fucking, that came out of nowhere.
Like, yeah. When did you get hot?
Yeah. Like, excuse me, sir. Where the fuck? And it all kind of started with the Ready or Not. Two. I finally got to watch that.
I didn't recognize him at first in Ready or Not Two.
I feel so bad about how much I am thirsting over that dude in that movie.
He's hot.
He's hot, but he's terrible.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's terrible. But Jesus, I'd let him ruin me. So it's a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Us men have Mia Goth. We understand. She's beating the shit out of Kevin Bacon, and we're like, go on.
But yes, I really enjoyed it. It was one of those, like, the first one, I was surprised at how much I liked it. And then so I was happy to see the second one. My only gripe is that, spoiler, Kevin Durant doesn't last that long.
No.
Like, what?
I know. Real cameo.
Right. Yeah. If you're buying the ticket for him, don't, you're going to be disappointed.
Do you like Sarah Michelle Gellar in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, love her.
She's great.
Whatever. Like, come on, SMG, let's do this. I wish she had got a little more kickassery going, but
she was good.
Yeah, she was good.
It's nice. I mean, I guess it's nice sometimes when a sequel is just, did you like that movie? Here's another 2 hours. Go have fun.
We did it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. And who is the main girl? What's her name?
Samara Weaving.
There you go.
I'm really enjoying her trajectory her career choices now.
You know what? And Margot Robbie is going to keep turning down roles, and she is going to get them.
Have we had them in a movie together yet?
Babylon. Damien Chazelle's Babylon. Okay. She is an actor who gets replaced by Margot Robbie because Margot Robbie could cry on cue. Okay.
Go back to Mayhem from 2017. It's Samara Weaving and Steven Yeun in a something-something, everyone in this office starts killing each other.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah,
yeah, really I really like that. Mm-hmm. Opus, it was kind of a letdown.
Yeah, that movie's a mess.
Yeah.
Wait, is this, which one's
with,
this?
Iowa Debris.
Where they go to John Malkovich's house.
I remember liking the trailer and then it whooshing by and not seeing it.
Yeah, it's not really, I mean, I gave it 2.5 stars and put a heart. Because it was kind of a mess of a movie from what I remember. Like, I think I enjoyed some aspects of it. I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I like the, what we came in with. I love seeing
Ayo Edebiri.
Ayo Edebiri.
Yes.
I really want to support her career. Very much so. Like, I like her. But I fear that she is being very pigeonholed and typecast into this very specific character.
She absolutely is. Yeah, you are so right.
And it's not fair. I want to see her try to do something else.
Because she can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Wuthering Heights. One.
Oh, no.
Hold on. I'm just going to turn my microphone off and sit back. Let's go.
What? Let's go.
Never read it.
Mm-hmm. Don't.
I have zero, source material other than my reference. To my only knowledge of Wuthering Heights is an episode of Friends that it references. But this movie, damn, like, it is horny as fuck.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
For it. I don't know, like, how much of this is, like, true to the actual source material.
It's the first half of the book, and it is adjacent.
Sexual sadism?
Implied.
Okay, that's what I figured.
It fully tracks with the character.
Okay,
this is like any Dracula movie is to the book Dracula. Okay. Like, we're hitting the same beats, but we're telling the story anew.
Yeah. I really love the girl who played his sister. What was?
She's Allison something.
Oh my god! Like that. That switch, like when we like see her initially talking about Romeo and Juliet, like in her nerding out about it, love that. Till we get to the point where she's like, oh, but you can't read. Oh my God, you're such a bitch and I love you so much. Fucking magnificent.
Yes.
And
Allison Oliver.
Allison Oliver, yes. Yeah.
She's so good. And I we said this has already been on this show. I get that character now.
And I completely agree. The character doesn't really make sense in the book. It makes sense in the movie.
When she's playing it,
Okay, all right, right on. I liked it much more than I thought I would. I put it on thinking that I was sleepy. I was like, let's just see what this is about. I was wide awake for the whole damn thing. Up at midnight, like, ha!
Is that a skin wall?
Yes! Like, I don't know about that. That just feels wrong. But may this kind of love never find me.
This is for us. I was once again invited to speak to a class of students at Shadyside Academy this week, which is very, very nice, and I love doing that. And the few kids in that room who saw Wuthering Heights were like, I didn't get this at all.
They haven't yearned yet. Yeah.
They thought it was slow, and they had turned it off after an hour. They just didn't buy into it at all. So
also, Gen Z are prudes.
These are younger than Gen Z.
Oh, wait, no, that's not true.
17-year-olds are not Gen Z anymore. Oh.
No, aren't they alpha?
We're calling them alpha until we figure out what their actual name is.
Yeah.
I thought that the last year for Gen Z was 2012.
No?
I don't know. It's not that important.
They're no, it's young. Really not.
The youngins did not get Wuthering Heights. That's
crazy
point.
To me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this specific sample size, but maybe there are others, but...
But this seems to be for us. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, everything is so instantaneous for them now. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right, Robin. They don't understand yearning.
The children don't yearn for yearning.
This just in.
I hope that finds... I mean, there's not cable in the same way anymore, but I hope somehow that gets on some streamer forever. Like, that's one of these movies that never leaves Netflix.
Yeah.
And people start watching it.
Yeah.
I hope it gets Suits life. What... am I the only one that saw a whole ass Star Wars movie that came out?
Yeah. Who gives one single fuck?
It's a Star Wars movie.
I liked that series. I just have, I'm like.
And there'll be more.
I'll watch it when it's on my TV.
I say that and then I go, you don't have to. It feels like two episodes of that show with a slightly bigger budget.
Yeah.
And I
said in the X-Files episode and various Star Trek episodes is kind of what you want.
No, that's I think they did the right thing by doing that. Yeah. I think if they tried to make it a full Star Wars experience, they would have stumbled, and it either would have like collapsed under its own weight, or the fans would have nitpicked it like they nitpicked the last few. It probably was smarter to be a little unambitious and just do some Mandalorian stuff, but with big robots. And I liked it. It just didn't really have an impact on me beyond I had a pretty good time and nodded off a few times. And when I woke up, I hadn't really missed much.
Right.
People who really care went to see it and probably enjoyed it well enough, and people who didn't care that much might catch it later, and that's kind of correct.
Yeah.
So, fine. It is really nice, and this has to be a Pedro Pascal doing this himself. The first three credited people in the credits are the three people who are the Mandalorian.
Aww.
He's first, and then the guy who walks around is second. And then the guy who does the stunts is third.
That's cool.
Like, those are the top three names.
I like that.
Which is that, and
classy.
You know that's not coming from Disney. That has to be coming from Pedro. So good for him. I'm glad that Obsession and Backrooms are making the money and Passenger isn't, because that was a big old letdown. Because Passenger had a great trailer.
That's a great... Oh, that got me.
The trailer is fantastic. The movie cannot keep up. And it's really disappointing because it's this cool, like, road movie, that can be made so creepy, and it didn't come together here, which was a disappointment. I don't know if I can count The Breadwinner as a disappointment because I thought it would be bad, and it was.
It looks so bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you... Dude, you're on top of the world right now. Yeah. Why did you tried to do something that was never gonna work, because like family live action comedy is dead as a genre.
Maybe he's so egomaniacal that he thinks that he can revive a genre in the same way he thought he could host the Emmys by talking about how much he hates television.
Yeah, he's, you know, I have mixed feelings about him, but I don't begrudge him his success because he did, you know, he is one of those people that was at it for 15 years before he was an overnight sensation. So I'm happy that he does so well. This does seem a little like, oh, you thought everything you did would work, didn't you? Yeah. Didn't
it's,
you, buddy?
It's always something with these clean comics. Like, and I say that as a person who likes his stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's hilarious. Like, his stand-up, I thought, has been great, at least, like, what I've seen of it. I'm like, this guy's great. Like, he's smart. He's, like, self-deprecating in the right ways, you know? But I just, it's anytime there's a clean comic who gets big, I'm like, there's something underneath there. What's it going to be? And, you know.
With him, it's barely concealed conservatism. Yes. But anyway.
Yes. Then that's what it usually is, right? But with this, like, it's that. So there's a layer of that with what I've seen of, like, just the trailer of that movie. Like, I know enough about it. And it's just like, it's just not funny anymore to be like, aren't dads dumb?
Right.
Yeah.
It really does feel like this is a script from 1980.
If it had been a little wackier, it might have worked. But it was too concerned with being grounded to, like, fully have, like, zany set pieces. And if it was going to be this grounded, it should have had something more profound to say than, wow, moms do a lot. Like, you know, it's and when it gets to the credits, there's a little bit of blooper reel, but it's mostly clips of him doing stand-up that's related to the topics in the don't fucking have a guy fail for 90 minutes and then go like, but he's good at this other thing.
Hey,
like,
remember this? No.
Like it's like one of those Dennis Rodman movies, and then the credits are him rebounding. Like, no, I know that he can do a different thing. Like, didn't make up for this, like, thing this that he can't
been,
do.
Right. This would have been good if you just played 2 hours of his stand-up. That I would go see.
I'll end by saying, on the one hand, you do not need to see the Martin Short documentary. It is one of those, like, a famous person documentary that's just...
Everybody loves him.
Is Meryl in it?
Yes, little bit. Sadly, it's Catherine O'Hara that's all over. Because they were super, super close. As a whole, it's not that great. It should have been Grey Gardens with his home footage, because he apparently, like, spent 20 years with a camcorder always in his hand, and it keeps cutting to, like, footage of him, of Catherine O'Hara and Steve Martin and Tom Hanks hanging around his house.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, just give us that and skip the, like, interview where he talks about shit.
He's too alive for that to be the tone, though. Like,
maybe.
Like, if he had died, maybe, but
he's had death
what
around
if he
him.
Was nearly dead.
But if you're like, oh, but I really like him and I want it, here's the reward will be at a certain point, for no reason, they're just hanging out and fucking around. Him and Tom Hanks recreate the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid getting ready to jump I Can't Swim scene. They just start acting it out. Halfway through, Tom Hanks pivots to Forrest Gump. So it's Forrest Gump and Martin Short as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And want to know who's holding the camera? Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg is filming this happen.
That almost justifies Forrest Gump as a movie. Right. Almost.
And I'm like, I think it was worth this 100 minutes to get that 1 minute. Addy, before we go, what do you got going on? What's coming up in your life?
Hold on. We didn't talk about the song. What the song, number one song was.
That's at the very end.
Oh, okay.
We still got
I promise I do listen to this podcast.
Yeah, we know.
only to hear myself sing. I don't listen to this. Right. I listen to the theme and then I cut to the end theme.
Right.
So you can find me on Instagram at Addy Twig, and my band is at Cisco Kid PGH. Mm-hmm. We just did a really cool YEP thing. We opened up their neighborhood concert series, which was awesome. We played in this beautiful theater in Braddock. It was incredible. So we're still kind of riding that high. We're working on releasing some new stuff, but, it hasn't been announced yet. I don't know how soon will this come out.
Monday.
Okay, so it hasn't been announced yet, but on the low, we are playing Northside Music Festival.
Oh, sweet.
Great. So that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. It's the weekend of July 10th and 11th. So, you know, you'll have to keep your eye out on, you know, when they announce that stuff. Well, and you can always find me around town. Like, if this
you
is coming out.
You got a ramble coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. If this is coming out Monday, then the ramble is Saturday, June 6th at the Thunderbird mm-hmm. with Randy Bauman and that whole crew.
Amazing lineup of musicians.
It always is, and it's mm-hmm. always really fun. And there are, you know, we always have some staple songs that we do, but we always mix it up with, he throws in some, you know, there's some Bowie in there this time, and I'm going to do some, speaking of staples, I'm going to do some Mavis.
Nice.
Wow. Some Irma Thomas. Like, it's going to be really fun. And T-Bird is so beautiful. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to be a really fun night. And yeah, I'll be hopping on like festivals this summer and whatnot. So just follow me on the Insta.
We got to find a way to get you back for the, I want you to be a tradition at the October Steel City Horror Show.
Yeah.
Because it was so good.
it was so fun. Everybody was so nice.
If I think we talked about it on this show. Last Halloween edition of the Steel City Horror Show, we watched Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Which is the one with Dream Warriors by Dokken as the theme song, which Addie came down and sang better than Dokken, I will say right now.
No doubt.
I just thought of you because I was at the Mahoning Drive-In last weekend and someone had a bumper sticker that said, I did coke off of Freddy Krueger's glove while listening to Dokken. I was like, yep. But yeah, it was so good. We have to at least get some kind of backing because it was great, but you sang to a track and like we got to get a whole band around you.
That would be fun.
We need another horror movie with a hair metal song. There are a few of them.
I love the idea that you start picking them based on what I would be singing.
Right. Like, that's a valid. Movie in Addie's range. Fortunately,
that's a big range.
Addie's range is endless.
Yeah.
So it'll work out just fine. Let's draw a movie. What we are going to get to next is...
Cocoon, The Return.
Thankfully.
Was that even a...
No, it wasn't. It was a plot.
Damn.
Not a number one movie in America. I don't... So is it valid to use a veto on a good, incredibly important movie just because I feel like we just talked about it? We landed on The Avengers. Like...
I kind of want to talk about The Avengers.
The Avengers?
We just did Age
of
Ultron.
Did,
like,
yeah.
the first Avengers?
2012, yeah. We just did Age of Ultron.
I won't judge you if you veto this. I vetoed Inside Out. Which is why we did Avengers Age of Ultron.
Whoops.
And I'm really pressing my luck because the jump from District 9 to Cocoon was great. And are we going to get to that good 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know. Isn't this kind of... There's Spider-Man coming out.
There's a Spider-Man coming out. There's an Avengers coming out.
And it's good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. And I don't think I...
I mean, we'll be laid down. We won't be weighed down with
other
Ultron.
Other than like right. maybe 20 minutes on TV, I haven't watched it like beginning to end. In 14 years? This is a 14-year-old
movie.
That's
insane.
It is. Oh, God. What is time?
I think you should do it. Don't waste the veto.
Yeah. Yeah, like you could use that veto. We could end up with Beavis and Butthead.
It's an okay movie.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna veto it. It's a big
and we can find this. We all have this.
Very
sure.
Yes.
We have easy access to this movie.
This will not be one we need to turn to the library for.
We have the streaming service that is built around the existence of this film, Disney Plus.
I spend all day every day avoiding it personally. It's really difficult to avoid. Mm-hmm.
All right, The Avengers.
Yay.
The classic, the original, the not all of the characters are there yet, so it's wieldy. You can get your arms around this level of team up.
Maybe
I could do
I'll
this
re-watch
all day.
That since you guys are going to be doing it.
Okay. Do it. I've been trying to rewatch, go back through the MCU.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, because this one's coming out in December, I have to force myself to care about it. Yeah. So,
did anyone but me watch the Hawkeye series?
I did.
I really liked it.
What is it? Avengers the Musical?
Yes.
It's really good.
It's really good.
What?
This, where Clint goes to the Broadway premiere and sees them singing, I could do this all day.
I was like, did I miss something? Oh, great.
No, it's so good. And it's what's his name from Rent, not Anthony Rapp, but the other one. I'm sorry. You're important, I swear. the other guy from Rent besides Anthony Rapp.
I don't know his name.
I feel too bad.
I can see his face, but I can also see Taye Diggs, and he's very disappointed.
But Taye Diggs has other things.
And the guy
this guy is really the guy from Rent.
Jesse, whatever.
He's in School of Rock. He's in this. He's in. He's Roger Davis is played by. Cut out some of this.
I will.
But it's almost its own thing at this point, because this guy, like, many years later, they did a national tour where this guy and Anthony Rapp went around as the characters again. And Anthony Rapp, you could tell, is like, I love this show. It helped make me who I am. I am very pleased to be 40, 45 years old and able to do this again. And you could see in this guy's face that he was like, this fucking show again.
Mm. But it's all he has.
It's really all he has. Adam Pascal.
Yes.
I would have picked that off a list, I have to say.
Same.
And
yeah.
I couldn't come up with a musical theater person. Yeah.
Who is a very good actor, and he is so good singing. Yes. I could do this all day. He's amazing. Hawkeye series. Anyway, yeah, The Avengers next time. But first, Cocoon, number one movie in America in June of 1985, released June 21st, 1985. That weekend, what was the number one song in America?
Like a Virgin.
I was going to say, based on my choice, I know that was a 1985 song, but I don't think that was it. I would guess it maybe was some MJ.
Mm.
No, those are usually a little early. I think all of those number ones were in 83 and 84, all of the Thriller number ones.
We Are the World.
No.
The Miami Vice theme song.
Ooh.
We Are the World was pretty close. That was April 13th through like mid-May. But no, not quite. This is a song that...
Wham!
Not Wham. Wham is my birthday number one. Oh. Careless Whisper is my birthday number one.
Nice.
This is a song that we don't really have any reason to remember.
Oh. Dire Straits?
Dire Straits are great. There are reasons to remember Dire Straits.
Says the white man. No, I love Dire Straits. I just had to make that joke. I'm sorry. I love Dire Straits.
As you were.
You hit about 31 as a white man, and you're like, Brothers in Arms is one of the best albums ever recorded.
I mean, it really genuinely is, though.
It's a rite of passage.
Yes.
This is a solo artist.
If it's forgettable, it's not Cyndi Lauper. Is the artist forgettable too?
Yeah, he's pretty forgettable.
Simply Red, depending
on how much you paid attention to concert tours of last year. This is a tour that I went to, saw the vastly superior opening artist. Mary Beth and I turned to each other and said, do we need to see a few songs by blank? And said no, and left and went home.
Don Henley.
I'm dying to know.
No. The opening artist was Pat Benatar and Neil Girardo.
Oh, who awesome. Billy, I swear, if it's Billy Idol, I'm going to be.
No. Okay. No.
Is it a white man?
It is a white man. It is a white man who.
That Canadian guy, Brian Adams?
Brian Adams.
Oh, wow.
Brian Adams? Brian Adams is forgettable to
you? Yeah. What?
Yes.
Okay.
Brian Adams is not forgettable to you?
No.
It's not like I'm a Brian Adams stan. It's just like he had a
great run, but like what's that night was really bewildering to me. So
cuts like a knife.
No. It's a ballad.
Heaven.
Heaven by Brian
Adams. You have not seen her smell.
What's her what?
She sings that song in Her Smell, and it is one of the best scenes in a movie in the last 15 years. Yep.
That's one of the very few songs that I like to play on the piano and sing.
She plays it on the piano and sings it.
I saw Her Smell.
You just don't remember the best scene in the last 15 years?
Am I having a stroke? I saw Her Smell. What are you talking about?
The movie Her Smell with Elizabeth Moss.
In Act 3, when she's sober, she sits at the piano and plays that song, and it is genuinely beautiful.
It's a beautiful song.
Yes.
It has no
The Robin Hood theme?
I'm also really.
That's
also
the
really
only one that's less Summer interesting than Heaven. Summer of 69, I'll
I'm
give you.
I'm also really fond of the Have You Ever Loved a Woman?
Oh, that song is sexy as hell.
Right?
That sounds like elevator music to me.
Sexy elevator music.
These young men out here.
I'm 41. I'm in the target demographic. Like this, it was that night that really like made me question my perception of reality, because I'm going into an arena and we're all tacitly agreeing that Pat Benatar should open for this milquetoast motherfucker.
I would agree with that. I'll give you that.
I will, yes,
but he's not
there.
Forgettable.
Yes, no. Right.
I don't. That's
And I absolutely, if I was there already, I would have stayed for Brian Adams.
What if we took half of the charisma of Rod Stewart and put it in a human being?
Excuse you? Rod Stewart is gross.
Really?
Rod Stewart is... Oh my, he is kind of gross, but he's so much more interesting than Brian Adams.
In a bad way,
right,
though.
Yeah, like,
I'd do them both.
In a... A black ops list kind of way.
Like how Trump is more interesting than Biden.
Now I feel like we need to apologize to everyone we just mentioned other than Trump. I'm sorry, Brian Adams.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you are.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking
about.
Fine. Don't get it.